Would you turn to Luke chapter 24? Several weeks back, I brought a little thing on the two roads and an island. The two roads being Emmaus, Damascus, and the island being Patmos. And I focused that time on who received, who the individuals were, and who they were, and what kind of people they were. And that was the focus of that time when I spoke there. And that was all fine. And that's important. That's important. Who those they were. They are the people of that appear in those times at on the road to Emmaus and Damascus and the island of Patmos. They are representatives. They represent us in some way or another, and might need to go back over that again because I left things out and didn't know things and. There's more to see. There's always more to see. Amen. But this time, I'd like to focus, not so much, although we will focus on the people, I want to focus on how the Lord presented himself to each one of those. I'm not going to do all three. That's too much. I could do a big overview of them and get it done, and we wouldn't remember anything I said. But at least this time, just focus on the first instance, the first road, Emmaus. Because the Lord presented himself in a certain way and to individuals who represent us in some way. So we'll look at both of them, both from the receiving end and from the giving end, right? So let's take a moment to pray, just to ask the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have brought us here together to be here this morning. We miss some of our members this morning, but we know in the Spirit they're here and they are with us, and you know exactly where each one is, and you are ministering through prayers and through studies and through events of life in each of their lives, just as you're ministering to us. And so we pray for them, and we thank you for the every member of the assembly here, everyone that you've brought together. We thank you for gathering us this morning, and we ask, Lord, for the next few minutes, that you would open our eyes and open our minds and reveal yourself to us. And we ask through your word that we would know you better through this and we would understand ourselves better. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Luke 24, verse 13, we start in here. And I will not tell you until, I don't know if I can do this with random thoughts, if I can make this clear to tell you exactly how he reveals himself, what he reveals about himself, if I can wait until the very end. Yeah, so we'll be spending most of the time, I guess, looking at these two guys. Behold, two of them. Now, this was the very day when the empty tomb was discovered. The very day. It was probably late in the afternoon. Behold, two of them. So that's important that we know this. These two of them, that's how we know they represent everybody. They represent the disciples, the apostles, the sisters, the women at the tomb, they represent everybody. They represent us. Two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all of these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And that brings up the first point about these individuals who represent us. Their eyes were veiled. Their eyes were veiled and their minds were veiled. And they couldn't see and they couldn't understand. But they were discussing it. They had been through a wonderful 3.5 years. Maybe they've joined this following at some point, but maybe at the beginning, maybe the men, but there were 3.5 years, good years. However, they were suffering right now from the last 3.5 bad days. 3.5 bad days that wiped out 3.5 good years. Isn't that amazing? We can have a good 3.5 years and a good time, a good life, and all of a sudden something very brief can wipe it all out for us. And that's where these men were, and they had no clue, no idea what to think of it. They were discussing, what were they discussing? We don't exactly, but discussing these things. They were not, as my view, they were not discussing the last 3.5 good years. Their focus was on the last 12 hours. If this was in the late afternoon, 4-ish in the afternoon, the women had gone to the tomb that morning before dark, or before sunrise, right? It was dark, 4, 5 in the morning, something like that, to go to the tomb and discovered it open. So it's been 12 hours, less than 12 hours. And these guys are discussing these things, and they don't know. How do you discuss something you have no comprehension about? How do you discuss something that is a complete reversal of everything you believe, and you don't understand anything? What do you discuss about? We just do that all the time, don't we? We throw our opinions around this way and that way about things we have no idea about. We do that. These men were veiled, everything they were thinking. So this man comes up to them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And Mark says, he came to them in a different form. I don't know what that means, had no idea. Was it that he looked like a different person? Or was it that their eyes were veiled, so veiled they didn't recognize him? They were so worked up with what they were trying to understand that they didn't know who in the world he was. Well, it's hard to say, but they were veiled. Let's leave it at that. He said to them, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem, unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in the sight of God and all the people. So they knew, they had an idea of who he was. They had an opinion of who he was. From what they observed the last 3.5 years with their eyes and what they heard other people saying about him, they had an established opinion about him. He was a prophet, mighty indeed in word, in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. Now, this event that had taken place 3.5 days prior to this was all they had or could think of. And it was so earth-shattering, they had to blame somebody. They had to come up with an explanation, a rationalization, and say they started blaming the chief priests and their rulers. It's their fault. They had to put responsibility on somebody. So they started blaming people. This brings up the second point, that their eyes and their minds were veiled. They couldn't see properly and they couldn't think properly. They brought up a different point. Their value system was all messed up. Their value system was an earthly value system. He mentioned, already said, if we look at it from the viewpoint of earth, we look at anything from the viewpoint of earth, our value system is immediately corrupt, isn't it? Their value system was corrupted, and they didn't know it. They thought this man was a mighty prophet, but he's dead. Killed. It's somebody else's fault. And they didn't understand, they didn't know how to review, because their values were wrong. It was from the earth, not from a different perspective. So their value system was wrong. And so the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping. We were hoping. This is how messed up their value system is. Now, remember, it's just these guys. It's everyone. All of them felt this same way. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We just knew it. We were so hoping. Get rid of these pesky Romans. Installed as king of Israel. We were hoping. Oh, we were hoping. He would be the one. And besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And they're relating what they'd heard from others. And if you look in the back, up earlier than this, when these instances took place, nobody believed them. The women came to the disciples and related how what they'd seen, angels, nobody believed them. These two did not believe any of it. In fact, they were amazed. They were totally, can I use one of today's terms? Their minds were blown. I'll put it that way. I'm sorry, is that plain enough? Their minds were blown. These two and everyone with them, they didn't even, their value system looking from the perspective of earth had nothing to compare this with, to grab a hold of, to even comprehend something as blatantly obvious as women coming to them and saying, we saw some angels and they spoke to us. We heard angels speak to us. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It wasn't anything like that. You're crazy. Now I want you to hear the response to this man who's standing beside them in verse 25. This is a response to men, all of these men, whose eyes and minds are veiled, and whose value systems are earthly. And you know what he says? Oh, you poor things. Oh, you poor, poor. No, he didn't say that. He says, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. These men were well versed in the scriptures. They knew what the prophets had spoken. They knew in words. They knew the words. They knew the context. They knew, they understood that. They knew who the prophets were. They knew who Moses was. They didn't believe any of it. They did not have the capacity to believe any of it. Oh, slow of heart. That means they were slow. They could not keep up. Their hearts were veiled, in other words. Oh, slow of heart. To believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? Everything written in Isaiah 53, and they knew that was about the Messiah. Was it not necessary? No, he was going to be the king of Israel. He was going to redeem Israel. No, from their value system, none of that had ever made any sense to them. They didn't know it. So, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is nearly over." And he went in to stay with them. And it came about, as he had reclined at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened. Now, let's make absolutely clear on this. When their eyes were veiled before, who veiled their eyes? Did they veil their eyes? God veiled their eyes. And unless God opens our eyes stay veiled. But their eyes were opened. God opens eyes. God veils eyes, and he opens eyes for his purpose. That's where my focus is. There's a bigger purpose going on than making sure two guys who are kind of miserable cheer up. There's a way bigger purpose here. These two men represent everybody, and they are going to have their eyes opened by the Lord. Now, so their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And as soon as they did, he vanished. Vanished. Now, that's pretty amazing. But they said to one another, "Were not our hearts..." So this is the reaction. Now, this is something going on. This is the unveiling of the heart that's going on from the beginning. As soon as the Lord Jesus was working his way from Moses, through Moses, and into all of the prophets, as soon as he was, while he was doing this, their eyes were gradually becoming unveiled, and their hearts were becoming unveiled, and said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road?" They had never experienced that before. They had no idea what was going on. Something was happening. How many times, how many testimonies? I was listening this morning. Testimonies from people when, as Jim shared his, you didn't tell us anyway, the moment something changed in his life, but as soon as it did, for 3 days, you said 3 days. Isn't that interesting? What an odd number to have. 3 days this change takes place, he has no idea what's going on. He was having his little road to Emmaus experience. something, and somebody had to explain it to him. I don't know if he remembers or not, whether his heart was burning within him as Buzz Friedel was explaining what happened to him in the Acme. He was in the Acme store with Buzz, and was his heart, if it's possible, his heart was burning with him. This is what's going on in these guys' life, as they represent all of us, because there's a revelation taking place. So they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. It was a crowded room, saying, "The Lord has really risen and appeared to Simon." Now this is another detail that Luke throws in here. So I do believe in the total inspiration, a very high view of Scripture, very high view of Scripture. That now we find out that these guys knew, this is why I'm saying they're dwelling and discussing in their pooling of their ignorance, they're discussing all of these events. And one of those events is not only did the women relate how they saw angels and spoke to them, but also Peter. The Lord appeared to Peter. We don't know any more about this. There's another incident where Paul talks about it, refers to it in Corinthians, appeared to Simon. But we don't know if anything was said. We don't know anything. But we do know it happened, and they knew it, but they didn't believe it. But then after this instance, they come back here, they believed it. They relate to this. The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. And it's like Peter's in the room, and they both saying to Peter, well, I don't know whether they did it together in unison or one at a time, "Peter, that was really Jesus who appeared to you. That was Jesus." Peter didn't believe it. Peter had no idea, and they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. And it relates in another time in Mark. Mark relates this, that as they're relating all this to all everybody, nobody believed them. Nobody. There was nothing. And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst. You could tell they didn't believe any of this because they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. They knew he was dead, but they thought, this has got to be a ghost. This is a ghost. This is not him. It's a ghost. So I think, sweet. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And I want to raise up this other point, then the last point. I got 3 points. So they were veiled. They had had an earthly perspective that was, what's the note? I forgot. This is my notes. See the note? I have my outline. Their value system was earthly. So they had veiled eyes, an earthly value system, and now what do they have? They have vision. Now they have vision. Their vision, everyone began to see. They received vision. Now, having said all of that, what brought these things around? Been focusing on them. I had to focus on them so we can turn our focus to the Lord, who changed all of these things. What did he do? He revealed himself in a certain fashion. And of these three instances, the two roads and an island, as we go through, and I don't know when I'd ever do, but in each instance, he reveals himself in a certain way, something about himself that addresses the instance, the people, and who the people represent. Each of these three, two roads and an island, the individuals represent us in some way. And the Lord reveals himself to that situation, to who those people are, then to who we are. And I want to say how he revealed himself, how he touched these people here, was in this way, through resurrection. All of their doubts, their slowness, all of their struggle was because they were looking at the dark side of everything. They were looking at the cross from the wrong side. As Austin Sparks put it, they were looking at the death side of the cross, which is a good thing. That's an important thing to see. Romans 6 is an important passage, that we have been crucified with Christ. Christ was crucified for us. We have the table every Sunday. There is the death side of the cross, which is critical. But you don't stay there. There has to be a revelation. And that revelation is it is no life side of the cross. No, the cross is death. But there is, after the cross, resurrection. And that is resurrection life. What changed everything, what took the veil away, which changed their value system and gave them vision, was resurrection life. He is risen. He's risen indeed. They didn't have a clue, and yet the prophets all talked about that. It was there. It's there in their scriptures, but now they experience it. They were touched by it. They saw the resurrected Jesus. Amen. That's the revelation that is expressed in this incident on the road to Emmaus. That's what the road to Emmaus is about, seeing the resurrected Jesus, seeing the resurrected Christ, experiencing that, having that resurrection life change our life, change their life. It changed the life of the disciples. Change their life. That's what we have, is that resurrection life experience. And if we find ourselves suffering 3.5 bad days, just look to the resurrection. There is life in every situation, right? There is life. We should be the people of life. We should be that. The Lord has revealed himself through that. Resurrection. I don't want to go in that, but you know, our faith. What would our faith be if we didn't believe in the resurrection?
In vain.
It would be in vain, wouldn't it? That's all there is. Read 1 Corinthians 15 and you'll know about that. How vain our faith would be without the resurrection. But he revealed himself in a certain way. So when we find ourselves, our minds veiled, we don't know what's going on, let the Lord reveal. There's life. Don't be stuck on the dead side of the cross, because there's life after that. Now, on the road to Damascus, he reveals something completely different about himself. On the road to Damascus, this man Saul does not represent us. He represents all of Israel. He does not represent us. He represents the authority of Israel. And do you know who supersedes the authority of Israel? Who's greater than Israel? Who's greater than the authority of Israel? The chief priests and the scribes and all that, and their authority? There's one who is greater authority over theirs, who is supreme over their authority, and that is the ascended Lord. So he's going to reveal himself as the ascended Lord. I'm telling you all this ahead of time. Don't say anything to anybody. Don't tell anybody. And when on the Isle of Patmos, John represents, who does he represent? He represents us. And he sees an entirely different revelation that we need to see too. He represents us in the sense that I think, In one sense, don't write this down or anything. In one sense, he represents the church, the remnant. He represents the remnant church. If you want to, that has all kind of connotations in it. I understand that, but he represents a certain portion of the church, and Christ reveals himself in a certain way, doesn't he? He does a big revelation on Patmos. So someday we'll bring those things. But I just wanted to say that in the road to Emmaus, it is resurrection life that we need to experience, just like these men did. Resurrection life.
Yes, sir.
Get our eyes off the earthly perspective. We know that. Everybody here knows that. We get stuck on the earth and we lose sight of the Lord. We lose sight so easily, don't we? He's working on each one of us, isn't he? He's giving us opportunities to take a long walk, a long hike, and find out. But we will find out. We will know all things one of these days. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for revealing Jesus to us. Thank you that we can see him in so many different ways, that he has many facets, and each one is critical to our understanding. So, Lord, take hold of our lives. You do. You hold us in your hand. But let us see your hand at work in us. Let us know you are with us and that there is life that we can trust, life that we can depend on. We say amen that the life is here, the life is in Russia, the life is in China, the life is in Azerbaijan, because it is your life.
Amen.
And there is only one life.
Yes.
And it is a living life.
Yes.
And it is a life that overcomes death.
Amen.
And we thank you for that.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen.